Hi, everyone. This is Coach Fav on behalf of Casinos USA. And welcome to our podcast episode 28, Travel, Riverboats, and Crafts, presented to you on this late October afternoon, October 26th. Well, we traveled to southern Indiana and stopped at Aurora, Indiana, and explored a pub that was opened in 1890. Oh, and then also we discovered a bar and grill in Rising Sun, Indiana, that we are going to recommend. Oh, maybe the best $15 steak. Yeah, I'll say it again. $15 steak I ever had. Of course, the riverboat was the Rising Star in Rising Sun, Indiana. And our second riverboat was the Hollywood Lawrenceburg, which, of course, is in Lawrenceburg, Indiana. I'll also be talking about a system that we used at the Rising Star, the three-point don't betting system. I want to review that and give our listeners several options that could be used. But I want to tell you something. Hollywood Lawrenceburg took us to school, and regardless of the system that we used, the table was so choppy, you know, we lost some money there. Oh, and everyone at the table did too, with the exception of one or two players, and we'll talk about that. My wife Janie will be stopping in. She has a couple of great stories. I'm going to refer to them as Vintage Vegas. And you could say, are they history or are they myth and legends? I think there's a little bit mixture in a couple of the stories, but they're very interesting. So looking forward to hearing Janie's report to us on Vintage Vegas. And as you heard in our opening, our digital audience is back again. So that means we'll throw in some casino group therapy that maybe, hey, every once in a while, all of us who love casino culture needs to hear. So casino group therapy is coming today, too. All right, so hang on. Let's take an island music break and we'll island music. Yes, island music break. And we'll come right back. And sometimes I just can't get enough of that island music. Oh, my. This makes you want to get up and dance. Well, we know many of our listeners probably are RV people, and RV park amenities are important. And that's why we thought it was so interesting that the Rising Star Casino Resort just built an RV park right next to their Lodge Hotel. They have two hotels on property, and the Lodge is, I don't know, maybe a football field away from the main casino entrance. But it's very impressive. 56 spaces, full hookups, including power, water, sewer. They also have a building with private bathrooms and showers, washers and dryers. You like bocce ball? Yeah. Shuffleboard. There's a playground, of course. And a nearby dog park right there. Picnic tables, grill area, fire pit, and cable TV, Wi-Fi. You have access to the main hotel's indoor pool, which... if you go to casinosusa.bet, we have several pictures of it. Or our Facebook, Casinos USA, we have even more. That's two words for Facebook, Casinos USA. The Rising Star Golf Course. There's also access to the town docks and boat ramps in Rising Sun, which Rising Star is in the town of Rising Sun. The casino itself has 939 slots. Hey, that might be a lucky daily number. And 25 table games. And in the complex, there's a variety of restaurants, including a really awesome buffet and steakhouse. There's generally weekend entertainment. You know, I'm talking about professional entertainers. If you're staying in the RV park, there's grocery and other convenience stores within easy walking distance. And the downtown area of Rising Sun in this charming little town, historic district's just three blocks from the Rising Sun RV Park. But it's a very impressive construction, and we salute Full House Gaming for building that up, a new full-service RV park at the Rising Star Casino Resort, once again in Rising Sun, Indiana. I must say, you know, being from out of state, it's a long drive. It's, you know, it's 5.5-6 hours, depending on how many times you stop. Going across Ohio on 70 and then going around Columbus on the bypass and going 71 south. And we get off at 275 and basically follow that through the top end of Kentucky and into Lawrenceburg, Indiana. So it's Pennsylvania, Ohio, just a little couple miles of Kentucky, and then back to Indiana. Oh, my. Yeah, back home in Indiana. There's an oldie but a goodie. But the rising star really comps. In October and also in November, it was in our mailer when we got home, they're giving us 10 free nights anytime. 10 free nights anytime. And we have $15 free play every day, or every other day, excuse me, on our slot machines. So, you know, 10 free nights, one hotel like that, you know, that's awesome. And that's why we take advantage of it. And it's a favorite casino for a lot of people. We've heard a lot of people in Facebook message us, or through Twitter message us and say that they love the Rising Star. We made a lot of good friends there over the years, and I think we love it too. It's just a great place. And if you're an RV person, you know, give that a try. But, you know, you might think as you plan, we encourage casino trips, and as you plan that, like, what kind of a budget? Because I knew that we were going to have at least 3 days of solid gaming, you know, at a craps table. I committed $900 to that regard, you know, so you might say my loss limit on any single day might be $300, or I might violate that. But that was stone cold right there. Now, I wasn't going to lose more than $900, so that's what my thinking was. And of course, I went in max every game, everything that I had. And because we play crap so much, you know, we're kind of cautious, and we don't always do this, but I do very often start on the don't pass, and then if I get knocked off because the table gets hot, then I'll go over to the pass line. You know, there's no right way to approach this, but it's just something that I enjoy doing at times. I don't play smart craps only. I mean, I do play smart craps, but it's not exclusive with me. I do like to experiment with betting systems. And the Rising Star has a 24/7 $5 table, so that's conducive to, you know, doing some other things. Well, the three-point don't is that you start with a don't pass line bet. And I was betting $15. And, of course, I'll talk about options for that fear of the 7 on the first roll or the 11 on the first roll, which of course would knock you out, and it would be a new game. You'd lose the $15 because 7 and 11 beats the don't pass line on the come out roll. But I just started without any kind of hedging, just $15 on the don't pass. And once a point number was established on the roll, then what I would do is I would go to don't come, which I want to refer to as DC, and I would put $6 on the DC. So then that DC bet would travel to the next number that was rolled. All right. And then I'd do it again. I'd put another $6, and it would travel. And then a third one, if the point hadn't been rolled yet. And so what I would have is I would have $15 on the don't pass and $18 on DC bets, you know, throughout the six numbers. Now, why the $6? Is because if a hard waste number was rolled, I would use a dollar of my own to make a hard way bet on that number. So let's say a DC bet was a 6, then I would put a dollar on the hard 6. If a DC bet happened to go to the 10, I'd put a dollar on hard 10. The other thing I like about putting a white chip on top of a red chip is that I can look at quickly. If there's other people playing DC, I can find my chips quickly. And if the point is made, I would lose the $15 on the don't pass line. However, I would not lose the don't come bets, the DC bets. And that's a big advantage of this system. So if a 7 was rolled on the next come out roll, I would win $18. Now I would lose $15, right? Because this is a new game and I have $15 on a don't pass. But you see that built-in hedge? And sometimes what I would do is I would not bet the don't pass line and just go into the next game with 3 DC bets. And if a 7 was rolled on a come out, bang, there you go. I won $18, didn't lose any. Then I just start my $15 down pass line bet all over again. So that's an option that I have. You can, on the come out roll, if you're playing the don'ts, you can hop the 7 for $3 and go $2 yo. If you hop the 7s, you'd win $13 if a 7 came up. So you'd still lose 2, but it's better than losing 15. But if a yo came up, you'd win $30. Of course, you'd lose the $3 on the hop. That would make it 27. And you'd lose the 15, but you can see you'd still be ahead. So these are some things that you can do. If you're betting bigger money, there's other options. You can lay a number. Like, for example, if I was going $25 on the dome pass, I would lay the 4 for 40 or 50, and I can take that lay bet down. But if a 7's rolled, you know, I'm going to get $25 or 20, depending on what I bet. I'll get half of what I bet, you know, minus the dollar fee of making the bet. That's something else. And sometimes when I do that, if I'm going to lay a number, I'll hop that number. So if it was a 4, let's say I lay it for 50, meaning I'd win 25 minus 1 if a 7 was rolled. I might hop the 4 for $2 or hop the hard 4 for $2 and take a chance if somebody threw a hard 4 and I'd actually make money because, you know, I'd win $60 minus my 40. And those are all things you can do if that come out roll is so fearful to you. But over the course of an evening, if someone's thrown a lot of 7s on the come out, then you got to do something. The other option is just don't play. You know, if someone's thrown a lot of 7s, just don't play. I'm talking about on the come out roll. But you need a lot of patience to do that. So the 3-point down is you have a bet on the down pass, and you have somewhat of a smaller bet on the down come each roll. And it's called 3-point because you're going to do that 3 times if the game's still, you know, being played, if the point wasn't made. So that's how it works. And if the table is mildly cold, you're going to win some money. And if it's severely cold, not choppy, but just cold, you know, people aren't making their points, then you're going to win a lot of money. And I had a big night that first night. And so that gave me some ammunition, you know, for the next 2 days playing again at the Rising Star and also when we go to Hollywood Lawrenceburg. But at Hollywood Lawrenceburg, that's another story. And we'll come back to that later. You know, but it's not just about gambling. And we loved Southern Indiana. Nice place to explore and enjoy. The pub, ancient as it might be, in Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, Indiana, which is just a few miles from Rising Sun, Indiana, where Rising Star Casino Resort and RV Park is called the Third and Main. And if you go there, oh my goodness, ask the proprietor to show you the secret passage. It's behind a swinging bookcase. It reminds me of an old Hardy Boy, maybe Nancy Drew mystery, you know, the secret of the swinging bookcase. But that was a lot of fun. And it's a microbrew pub, and it's certainly changed ownership, but it's survived since, I think, 1890, if I recall correctly. The building was built in 1870. And if you enjoy architecture from the past, it's just fantastic. And it's been restored, and it's just, whoever did an awesome job. Beautiful place. But just about, I don't know, maybe 150 yards from the lodge hotel, not the RV park. We stayed in the lodge. We stayed in a suite there. It's on a road. It's really called, it's a very short road between the highway and the road goes right into the Rising Star property. I think it's called Industrial Road or Industrial Lane. This is in Rising Sun, Indiana. There's a pub called Rocky's, and it has a sign. Remember Rocky the Flying Squirrel, Rocky and Bullwinkle? Fantastic. Actually, the shuttle driver that drives the shuttle between the casino entrance and the lodge hotel, the people inside the main hotel can just walk without using a shuttle because they're inside completely. But that shuttle driver told us it was just a fantastic place to eat. And so that's what got us there. But we will definitely go back. So in Aurora, A-U-R-O-R-A, Indiana, It's Third and Main, the pub called Third and Main. Beautiful place. And in Rising Sun, Indiana, it's Rocky's Bar and Grill on Industrial Lane. Check them out. Fantastic. At the end of that first session at Rising Star, there were three players that we had played with before on our first trip to Rising Sun. And they came down and talked to us. They saw us cashing in and said, hey, can you spend some time with us and go over the three-point don't system? You know, we don't play the don't very often. And one of them said we never play it. But obviously you were the winner tonight. So, you know, I told them I'm not a don't player. Exclusively, I play all kinds of systems, and I play smart craps a lot too. But I like to start, particularly when I'm traveling. I know I'm gonna be playing craps every day on the don'ts, and then if the table gets hot, I just switch over. Not a problem for me. And I'm not one of those persons that, you know, cares how you bet. I just bet the way I want to bet. That's all I'm interested in, and enjoying myself and having fun. So that's how I look at it. I hope you get something out of that as well. Okay, coming right back. Just get a little dark because the next day we went over to Hollywood Lawrenceburg, which is actually a much bigger casino, and it's a much bigger town. If I got this in my memory correctly, the Lawrenceburg, Indiana, and the Rising Sun in Rising, the Rising Star Casino, it's about 15 minutes, I would say, 20 minutes at the most. But Hollywood Lawrenceburg, it's beautiful, and it's a very large boat. But the table, the craps table, was so choppy. And looking back, I should have suspended play. I should have just given up, because that's one of the things that works against you in craps. Maybe all table games. You know, if you're a competitive person by occupation, if you're a competitive person because of athletics, maybe in high school, or younger, maybe in college, you know, I'm not quitting. Like, you know, we'll win in the second half. We're the comeback kids, whatever. When the table's going point, no point, you know, you just tend to lose, and that's what happens. It just destroys. And I mentioned that there were a few people at the table when I played all afternoon, because my wife was having a good day on the slot machines. I know she wasn't leaving, but I could have done something else. I could have played some video poker, thinking back about it. But I think that I let the competitive juices just beat me up too much. But there was a fella two over from me. I was three people down from the right hand of the stick person. They had female dealer sometimes, so I say stick person. And to my right was a man who was just losing like I was, and he was just playing smart craps, and he was betting pretty big. But he got so frustrated, he threw $150 on a hard six. And I just looked over with him, and he went through. Just looking at his stack of chips, he must have gone through $2,000. And I just looked. What's he know that I don't know? And then three or four rolls later, a hard six comes up. He didn't have it hedged. He didn't bet the regular six, the easy six. He just had a hard six. And if I recall, he won $1,450. So that, you can just figure it out, because it pays 9-1. So his girlfriend, wife, said that's it. So he didn't seem real happy, because I think he was still behind, but he had to be a little bit happy, because, you know, losing $200 or $300 compared to losing $2,000, you know, the math ought to make you a little bit happy. But the truth of it is, you know, craps, to win at craps consistently, don't anybody kid you. You know, there's not one way to win consistently in craps. You can play smart craps, and you can play 100 times odds if it's offered, but you know what? Day in and day out, you're going to lose, because the game is a negative expectation game. And I know the people that said dice. I said dice even though I don't believe it necessarily works. I just think it sometimes creates tendencies, but it's a negative expectation game. And in the end, over the long haul, I'm not talking about the short game, over the long haul, you'll lose in this game. And in all casino games, you know, that's how they work. Not talking about poker room where you're competing against other players, but you can be wise with craps and understand the game and understand all the bets and, you know, et cetera. But we can argue this. It's not a game of skill. It's a negative expectation game. And the people that believe they said dice, you know, I told a story a few podcasts back about the longest craps roll in the United States at the Borgata in 2009. A grandmother throws 4 hours and 18 minutes, makes 154 points, doesn't set the dice. Now, you know what? If I was a manager or a business manager, I'd contact her and say, hey, why don't you tell people you set the dice? You know, we could sell that system. But she just threw them randomly, and 4 hours and 18 minutes. Can you believe it? So that's the aberration, and that's what we're hoping for when we play craps. We're hoping that there's an aberration, you know, that's taking place, something so unusual, and that somebody's going to make 9, 10, 15 points, and we're going to win a couple grand, you know? That's how we're going to do it, because we're going to press our numbers up and, you know, build up our odds bets and all that. But it doesn't happen every time. And I have a great respect for Mark Duvall and Dr. Mike out of San Diego. You can bet on that, because they're very honest about it. You know, they said they had some losing streaks where they would go a month and a half, 2 months, and lose, you know, and it gets old. But they don't seem to change their betting style. I'm just the kind of person, like, when I get into that, I'll change my betting style. Not that that guarantees that I'll win. It's just that it keeps my level of interest in the game up. And I think sometimes you do have to walk away. And remember, my wife Jenny always talks about having a firm loss limit in your mind before you go to a craps table, because you won't always win. And if it's discretionary income and it's a hobby, that's okay. You know, I told you that we had 10 nights in October and again 10 nights in November at the Rising Star as any nights, weekend, any nights, comped. You know, we don't even pay tax or anything. You don't pay resort fee, nothing. So it's free. And overall, in October, we had 40 nights. You know, considering other casinos, we had 40 nights. And our work schedules were such that I think we used 10. My wife said we used more than 10. So, but I think it was 10, 12 nights we used. And, you know, say it was $150 a night because some were weekends. You can see it's, you know, we're ahead of the game. So even if we lose, you know, 150 in slots and 150 or 200 in craps, you know, over the course of the month, hey, we'd still be way ahead. But the point is, you don't always lose. You don't always lose. So just keep that in mind. You know, there's no sure thing when you walk into a casino, but sometimes you win, and sometimes you win big. But just make sure you don't lose big. That's my point. That's casino group therapy for today. Let me turn to my digital audience. So what do you think about that? Well, thank you for that enthusiastic response. But you know what? It's time for somebody better than me. And I'm going to bring my wife, Janie, in. And she's going to talk about vintage Vegas myths, legends, history. It's your choice. Just enjoy this. We'll be right back.
Hi, everybody. It's Jane. Today, I want to give our listeners a quick history of the World Series of Poker. This history is a mixture of fact with Las Vegas myths and legends. Nearly all poker players know that the World Series of Poker is the world's biggest and most famous poker tournament series. It attracts players from all over the world. The main event now attracts thousands and thousands hoping to win the huge first prize and a place in the history books. The story of the origin of the World Series of Poker in the Binion family, led by Benny Binion, once owner of the Binion's Horseshoe Casino in Las Vegas, is certainly a part of vintage Vegas myths, legends, and histories. The book, Positively Fifth Street, Murderers, Cheetahs, and Binion's World Series of Poker, written by James McManus, tells the story of the Binion family. Perhaps some of the information in the book is not verifiable, and perhaps much of the information is factual. I will leave it to the reader to decide, as it is a story of the mob, death, betrayal, and loyalty. If you love poker, get this book. The World Series of Poker was founded in 1970 when Benny Binion, who was owner of the Binion's Horseshoe Casino in downtown Las Vegas, invited the seven most famous poker players at the time to play a winner-takes-all tournament. The tournament was nothing like it is today, having a preset start and end time, and the winner was found by voting, not by beating the competitors. The tournament was actually a series of different cash games, including five-card stud, seven-card stud, Raz, and deuce-to-seven low-ball draw. After being voted for by the six other players, Johnny Moss was awarded as the first winner of the World Series of Poker ever and received a silver cup as his trophy. In 1972, the main event, as we know it today, was created. The main event had a buy-in of $10,000, and the variant played was Texas Hold'em. But unlike today, where several thousand players play, only 12 players registered for the 72 event. It was not until 1976 that the famous series winner bracelet was introduced, giving players of all the different events a bracelet for their achievement. With the increased TV coverage, more and more viewers were watching the World Series of Poker and could see an amateur player winning the series main event in 2003. Chris Moneymaker had qualified to the main event via a $39 satellite on PokerStars and later won the event. He became the first player to ever win a main event after qualifying via a satellite, and he revolutionized poker with his win. He won an astonishing $2.5 million for his win, and viewers all over the world were amazed. And of course, everybody just loves the fact that his last name is Moneymaker. I think that drew a lot of attention on its own. The series was owned and hosted by Binion's Horseshoe Casino in Las Vegas until 2004, when Harrah's Entertainment bought the famous casino. With the purchase of the Horseshoe, Harrah's obtained the rights to the World Series of Poker brand and moved the series events from Binion's to their own casino, the Rio, just off the Strip in Las Vegas. I have to say that one time Fav and I were at the Rio when they were having the World Series of Poker, and Don did end up getting a straw hat with that ribbon on it. To show respect to the Binion's Horseshoe Casino for their work in creating the event, the last 2 days of the main event, Final Table in 2005, were hosted in Binion's Horseshoe, which would also be the last time that the series would be hosted there. In 2010, Harrah's Entertainment was renamed to Caesars Entertainment Corporation, and the company continued to run the series. The World Series of Poker main event is now seen as the most prestigious poker tournament in the world due to the extensive media coverage, the huge field it presents every year, the $10,000 buy-in, and its multi-million dollar prize. The winner of the main event these days almost always receives sponsoring contracts, ambassador contracts, and many other things. Combining all of these has made the World Series of Poker tournament that millions of players in the world dream about playing in and especially winning. I might also mention this book has a great poker terminology in the back with over 100 words and terms that may be helpful to you. I know they've been real helpful to me. At least it gives you the jargon that the pros play, say.
Thank you, Jane. It's quite a story. And that book, Positively Fifth Street, I'm going to have to read that myself. Thank you again.
I just wanted to tell our listeners, in reference to the title of the book, Positively Fifth Street, is that the last card in Texas Hold'em is called Fifth Street.
Hey, that's right. I'm not a very good poker player, but I do know that that's also called the river, and that's the last card in the river. Hey, Janie, thanks again. An incredible story. Well, you know, again, I'm going to acknowledge that I enjoy poker, but I also know my limits, and I just can't compete against quality poker players. But just for those people that play, amateur poker and are just starting to play amateur poker, and those of us who are video poker people, I just wanted to review quickly the ranking of poker hands. And, of course, the highest hand is a straight flush, and that's five consecutive cards of the same suit. The possible straight flush that maybe is an impossibility for me is an ace high straight flush, and that, of course, is called a royal flush. The next is four of a kind, and that's four cards of the same rank. Four kings, four queens, four sevens. Those are things that I've hit. Four threes. A full house is three cards of one rank and two of another, such as three fives and two queens. There's a flush, that's the next one down, and that's five cards of the same suit. A flush beats a straight, which is the next one, and that's five consecutive cards. Then, in a straight, an ace can be used as either a high or low card. I just wanted to mention that for those of you just starting out with poker, particularly video poker. Three of a kind, three cards of the same rank, and that beats two pairs, and that's where you have two cards, two twos, two fours, and then another card. And then, of course, a pair, and that's two cards of the same rank. And if both players have the same pair or three of a kind, the highest other card in their hand, called a kicker, determines the winner. And of course, if you're playing serious stuff and there's no pairs on the table, then the player with the highest ranking card takes the entire pot. Ace, queen, ace, 7-2, for example, beats ace, jack, 10-8-6. And so that's, I don't know if everybody plays that way. Sometimes you just deal over again if nobody has that. In video poker, that would not apply. You need to get a rank 10, you know, a straight flush, a four of a kind, a full house, a flush, a straight, three of a kind, two pair, or a pair. And if you're playing video poker, jacks are better. Of course, you don't win unless your pair is jacks or better. So that's it for poker today. And I want to close out, come right back with a story that I was involved in at the craps table just a few days ago. As we closed out our October tours, we came home to the Meadows, which is just south of the Pittsburgh airport. And I had a lot of fun doing something that most people say you shouldn't do at the craps table. And I won some money. So I'll be right back to talk about that as we close out our podcast today. All right, hey, back again. I wanted to talk about, you know, I don't just play smart craps. I just don't play from the dome pass. I play a variety of schemes and keeps craps interesting and fresh to me. But I was in the mood to chase sevens and craps numbers. And what that means is that whether you're on the dome pass or whether you're playing pass line, which I play most of the time, sometimes I just place bets. But so I'm playing $15 on the pass line and three-way craps for six on the come-out roll, and a lady rolls a seven. And so I won $9, so I throw $6 on, you know, hopping the sevens correctly set at the table. You don't want to mention the word sevens. Hopping the reds. Bang! She throws another one. You know, so I win $26, but you got to subtract the $2 I had on one seven and the $2 I had on the other seven. You know, there's a 5-2, a 4-3, and a 6-1. You know, some combination is how you throw a seven. And so, let's say a 6-1 comes up, you lose the other two when you hop. But still, that's $26. However, I wasn't done yet. I pressed the hops by $12, so now I have $6 on each number. Bang! She throws another one. And this goes on and on. She throws seven in a row. So six times I was with it, and my goodness, I won a lot of money. But things got even better for me later on in the game. You know, I was playing pass line and just playing two times odds because I was really there to chase sevens and chase craps numbers. So I was playing the Fremont Street Grind, whatever you call it, the Iron Cross, I think probably is more familiar. So I was playing 5-6-8 field, and I had $5 on the field, and a 12 comes up, and it pays incorrectly 2-1, should pay 3-1, but it doesn't. So anyway, I then put, so I got $10, so hey, I threw $10 on a 12. So now I got $300. So I think, what the heck? So I'm out of myself here. I just throw another $10 on a 12. Bang! So now I got $600. So can you imagine that? So I almost went a grand just on that. I finished the day I think it was $1,205, gave some money back. But if I just played, you know, craps the way most people play it with pass line and, you know, 3, 4, 5 odds times odds behind it, or even 10 times odds behind it, there's no way I walk out. There's no way I walk out of the Meadows with $1,200. It's only because I was just in the mood to chase sevens by hopping them and see how many times people could throw it in a row if they did at all, and also by chasing craps numbers. I know it's not the greatest way to play, but when you win, it's the greatest way to play. Hey, what a wonderful experience we had on our October tours, and we'll be talking about what we're doing in November. You know, I think we're talking about cooling it because there's a lot of things to do at home, but that probably won't happen. We'll see what happens. We do have a lot of room comps coming in, and you know, we have to decide what we're going to do. I think we have some family coming in for Thanksgiving, so maybe we can do something there. We'll see what happens. But Casinos USA, a place where every day is Saturday, and by our birthright, you know, we pursued life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Hey, thanks to you all. You can always hook up with us, of course, on Facebook under Casinos USA, or you can follow us on Twitter. That's Casinos USA 2017. We tend to tweet and post, you know, almost daily, not every day, but we do tweet and post on Facebook and Twitter a lot. We also have our website, casinosusa.bet, casinosusa written as one word, .bet. And we would love for you to check that out. And again, this podcast is all for you. If you want to help us a little bit, you can click on our Amazon link on our website, but we're not asking for any other donations because we are in a revenue sharing agreement with iHeart and Spreaker. So, you know, we're doing okay through them. Our number of listeners continue to grow. We get thousands and thousands of people listening to us monthly, and we certainly appreciate your support. It's all about you and enjoying these podcasts and having fun. If you have a gambling story that you would love to tell, or if you have a gambling question or anything regarding this, you know, this hobby we call gaming, give us a call at our answering service 24/7. That's 1-724-519-4556. 1-724-519-4556. You know, just give us your first name and maybe the state you're calling from, and we'll do our best to get you onto our podcast. Thanks again, and we'll see you soon. God bless. Hey, every day is Saturday.